brought to you by WorldWrestlingInsanity.com. Put down.
What's up, guys? That's right, you found your way to part two of JG's Radio Free Insanity for May the 5th, 2006, and we are about to be joined via the magic of cellular telephone by Brother Devon of Team 3D in TNA, formerly known as the Dudley Boys in WWE before WWE took the Dudley Boys name away and put it in their pocket and said, this is our name now. So we're going to talk to Devon a little bit about his feelings on WWE taking his name, his feelings on the ECW revival in WWE, working for TNA, and some other things. I'm going to go over with him just in a few minutes. We'll have him on. For those of you guys listening to part one, you know that this week's moment of insanity was Joey Styles' rant on Monday Night Raw. It also happened to be what we talked about when the show kicked off. It was really the news story of the week, Joey Styles talking about so many things that were happening. And one of the main things that he said during his speech actually relates to what we're going to have going on here on the site in a little bit. Joey Styles talked about how he was not allowed to say wrestler or professional wrestling as an announcer. He talked about how he was told to ignore the moves in the ring, so he could tell stories during the matches. Now, a lot of people watched this, and they were like, oh my God, has that really happened? Yes, it really happens. There's a lot that announcers and employees are told, and guess what? That's in World Wrestling Insanity, the book. One of the main things, and it kind of, when Joey said it, I was like, oh my God, no pun intended. I actually remember when I wrote the book, I'm putting in there the things that announcers were told not to say, specifically, right off of the sheet that they were given. So if you're into stuff like that, and you're into hearing about employees being told certain things, or what announcers are told, or why things are done the way they are, that's in World Wrestling Insanity. As I told you guys, the closer we get to the book's release, the more info I'm going to give you on it. So there's some info for you right there. And I've kind of alluded to it each week, saying, well, there's info in there that you have to be a member of WWE to get. And there's plenty more where that came from. But that is one of the main things. One of the things that is in the book. You read it, you're going to know what you would be told if you were an announcer. You're going to know what you would be told if you were an employee. It's all in there. As I used to say in that pasta commercial, it's in there. A lot of things, a lot on ECW, which I totally find cool that WWE is doing such an ECW push at this point, because there's a lot of talk in World Wrestling Insanity about WWE's views on ECW, how they see the company, how they portray it, and really their idea and what they think ECW should be, and how they've used it to kind of spin history and change things around. A lot in there, a lot of info on the first one-night stand, quotes from people who were involved with ECW. Terry Funk in there talking a little bit about his feelings on it, too. So again, guys, if you're into this whole ECW thing, if you're into the behind-the-scenes stuff of what announcers are told and what they aren't, if you're into the world of Triple H, well, it's all in the book, World Wrestling Insanity. Should be only a few weeks away, guys. Very excited, very psyched for the whole thing. So do yourself a favor. Run out and get World Wrestling Insanity, the book. It's available, for pre-order, so you can grab it now, and I'm sure when it does come out, it's going to be a little bit more than it's being charged for on Amazon, so you might want to grab it now while the going is good. If I could put it into a wrestling term to all you guys, let's say your name is Devon, I would say, Devon, get the book! And on that note, let's get Devon on the phone! So, guys, load it up. It's time to turn the tables and bring him on right now from Team 3D.
Brought to you by WorldWrestlingInsanity.com.
All right, guys. So join me in welcoming to Radio Free Insanity of Team 3D, Brother Devon. Devon, what's going on, man?
Hey, what's going on? How you doing?
Good, man. We're glad to have you on the show. So you got a lot going on in TNA. I think the first thing we really want to ask you is how is life in TNA, and now that you're reunited with your other two brothers?
Well, you know, everything's going well. I can't complain, you know, about the easier schedule. Thank God for that. And then on top of that, just being a part of TNA, period. You know, I'm very happy to be a part of a bunch of guys that, you know, really on the same page, and that's, you know, wanting to make TNA just not like a run-by indie indie promotion, but a major force to deal with in the world of professional wrestling. It's great that actually they are actually bringing back wrestling as a whole. Don't get me wrong, I'm not knocking anything that WWE is doing, but, you know, a lot of times, you know, entertainment part, I'm not trying to be Brad Pitt. I'm just trying to go out there and to showcase what I can do inside the ring. That's my skills. That's what I'm good at, you know?
Yeah.
I don't mind doing vignettes and things like that in the back every once in a while, but again, I don't want to make that the majority of my career being there. So, you know, that's one of the reasons why I'm glad we went to TNA, because they give you that option. They give you that option to go out there and pretty much showcase your skills. And that's what we do best. I think people recognize us for being the greatest tag team ever in the history of this business, and I'm proud of that. And I just want to make sure that we can continue to do that, and TNA is definitely the place to do it. Being reunited with Spike, it's a great thing. You know, always whether we were beating his ass or helping him kick ass, I'm just happy to be back with him.
Well, I mean, it's got to be cool for you because you were part of ECW when you guys were really building and trying to create a name for yourselves, and now you're kind of in a company that's almost doing the same thing. You get a lot of flashbacks to that, and is it better to kind of be part of a company where you're struggling to reach the top rather than a company that's kind of already on the top?
Absolutely, because you're on the same page. You're on the same page, and that same page is to make one of the greatest promotions that, you know, that's in existence. That's the one thing that's good about TNA, is that they are the underdogs, and they are fighting from underneath. And, you know, if you know us, how we've been in ECW, we were always like that. We were always the company that fought from underneath to try to make it when the other two were already up there. And, you know, proud to say that, you know, we did that with ECW, and I think we can definitely continue to do that with TNA. We have a lot of great stars out there in TNA, young guys as far as, and it's including the veterans. We've got guys such as, you know, AJ Styles, Christopher Daniels, Samoa Joe, Joe Lethal, the list goes on and on, Chris Sabin, you know, the list goes on and on how much young talent we have, Abyss, oh my God, there's so many guys. I can't remember a lot of the guys right now because you got me on the spot right now, but there's just so many good, great guys, so many great young talent there. You know, you also got the veterans in terms of us. You have, you know, Sting, you have Rhino, you have Christian, you know, which we've had definitely a lot of battles with Christian during the Hardy's, Dudley Boys, and Edge and Christian feud. Mm-hmm. You know, so the list goes on and on. You got Road Dogg and Billy Gunn. You know, the New Age Outlaws, who are not called that anymore, but as far as I'm concerned, I still call them that.
You know what? Let's jump onto that, because it's funny. We had Road Dogg on, the same thing, BG James on about 2 weeks ago. And one of the things I asked him if it was tough to kind of keep track of the name changes. And he had told me that sometimes he wants to call Kip James Billy. And he actually ended up doing it a couple of days after our interview. Do you run into the same kind of problem? I mean, because not only with you and Bubba or Brother Ray going through the name changes, but a lot of people around you, you know under different names. Is it hard to kind of keep track and not let it slip on TV?
Yeah, absolutely. There's been plenty of times where I've made a mistake and called, Truth, actually K-Quick.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so used to calling him K-Quick. You know, I call him K-Quick. I don't even want to begin if we ever start anything with the New Age Outlaws. I don't even want to know how I'm going to actually try to protect that one.
Yeah.
Because I can't get, you know, Kip James, you know. I just can't. I'm not going to be able to remember that. I can tell you right off the bat. You know, so we may be getting some letters from WWE that are like, you can't do this. So, you know, it's hard. It is hard.
What was it like when you were told about kind of not being able to use your old gimmick and name? How were you told, and how did you take it?
Well, you know, it was a slap in the face, because that's something we've accomplished. Mm-hmm. WWE, you know, yes, they did help put us, you know, on the map a little bit, you know, but we were already there. We were already on national TV with TNN, which is Spike. You know, we were on TV with it before we got to WWE. We were making money before we got to WWE. And, you know, we had just established a name before them. They didn't create us. You know, they didn't create us at all.
Yeah.
And it's just a huge slap in the face that they would actually sit there and try to say that they have the rights to the names, which we are fighting and which we will continue to fight.
What do you think was the motivation behind taking the name away from you? Do you think it was all done for business reasons? Do you think there was any personal issues in there too?
No, I think it was just them being bullies. Mm-hmm. You know, and what I mean bullies is because, you know, they're the great big WWE and, you know, the big lawyers and everything. And, you know, we don't want to see TNA succeed, but yet we're not, but TNA is not a threat. Mm-hmm. You know, you hear that all the time. And, you know, in my opinion, you know, when you do things like that, that just goes to show that maybe TNA is a threat. You know what, you know, you didn't create the name. I could see if it was someone like The Undertaker.
Yeah.
Who they created. Because before Undertaker was Undertaker, he was Mean Mark Allen. I can see that.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have a team that's already been established and has already done things and is already in the wrestling eye, and now all of a sudden you're telling me it's business, it's not business. It's not business at all, and they know it.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, call us Joe Schmo, call us whatever you want. People are going to know that we're the Dudley Boys the minute we're on TV. The great thing about it is we're on a national TV with Spike TV. You know, and Spike TV has been behind us 110% in terms of the company, and that's one of the great things that we have in front of us, that we are able to showcase everything that we want to showcase regardless of what WWE may pull.
I mean, you guys kind of lucked out, too, because for years when you were in WWE, you were wearing the T-shirts that said Team 3D on it, so it was kind of like a natural thing to grab onto that, and people know when they see you.
Like I said, it doesn't matter what you call us. The minute that camera's on us, you know who we are.
Let me ask you this. When you first got called into WWE, I still remember there were 2 weeks that you guys really kind of carved out a name for yourselves. And the first week was when you put Terry Runnels through a table. Terry, about 5'2". What went through your mind when you were told that you were going to have to put her through a table? Were you concerned about possibly breaking her in half?
No, not at all. Because we knew what we could do.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about it, was it wasn't their idea to come up to bring, to put Terry to the table. It was our idea.
Oh.
We brought it to them. They were concerned about it.
Okay.
They didn't know if we could protect her the way we should. And, you know, we said, hey, don't worry about it. You know, we'll make sure that, you know, everything works out. And after convincing Vince that everything would be okay, he was cool with it. And sure enough, that put us on the map. You know, so it was something that if we didn't fight for or try to convince Vince that, hey, we could do it, it's something that probably would have never happened. D-Ron hit the tables or just the Dudley Boys being associated with tables, period, probably would have never happened.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the other one, too, of course, is probably the Mae Young spot, which was far more impressive than Terry, just simply because you went from the ramp all the way down through the table. I mean, what was that like setting that up and talking to Mae beforehand? Was she apprehensive or is she...
No, not apprehensive at all. She was all for it. You know, that one was most likely WWE. We had no idea putting an old woman to a table. But she was a very, you know, very good make it to want to do it. And she was tough. She was ready to do it. She didn't care. She grabbed us at the end of that when we did that and said, you know, the great thing about it is, boys, we could probably do a lot of business together. I would love to do it from the top of the cage. And that's when we looked at her and thought she was crazy.
That's insane. You guys were a staple of ECW. And now it's kind of coming out that WWE is looking to form an ECW revival, kind of a farm league almost for themselves, under the name ECW. What are your thoughts on that? Or is that something that you think maybe one day you'd like to be a part of? Or are you not a, you're not a fan?
I want you to put this in big, bold letters.
You got it.
I do not want to be a part of the ECW. I'm not going to be a part of the ECW reunion that's coming up in June. And I definitely don't want to be a part of the new formation of the ECW organization.
Okay.
As far as I'm concerned, I'm happy, very happy with what we've accomplished when we were there in ECW, what we did at One Night Stand. As far as I'm concerned, that was the way we should have went out in ECW. and at One Night Stand, and I'm going to leave it at that as far as I'm concerned. That's the final chapter in my career in terms of that company. You know, I don't want people to think, oh, you know, we've heard that before and this and that, but I feel very strongly about that.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that, you know, I'm never, ever, ever, ever going to go back, you know, to WWE or anything like that. But right now, I'm not looking to go back to WWE. I'm happy. I'm happy in TNA. TNA has done the right thing by us. TNA has opened up rolled out the red carpet for us, opened the door wide, and has done everything they should. So for me to actually, you know, want to go back to WWE and that work schedule, I wouldn't want to do it right now because I'm very happy where I am. As far as, like I said, ECW goes, I mean, God bless them. I hope it succeeds, you know, but I just don't feel that it will because I think the ECW time is gone. I think it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of the guys are older. A lot of the guys' bodies can't go through that abuse anymore. I know the fans miss it and love to see it back, but, you know, they got to put in perspective as well is that we're not getting any younger, and we've already killed ourselves with the abuse that we did back in the day when ECW was around.
Yeah.
So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, God bless those who can come back and help regenerate it, and God bless those who are going to be new guys in that league and try to make ECW a name for themselves.
I mean, do you think that it even can survive, considering that, I mean, part of the allure that ECW had, whether or not they were being financed or helped out by WWE, was that they kind of existed almost separate. Do you think an outlaw company like this new ECW will be able to survive, considering that it's WWE's kind of project now?
I don't think so, because I think it's going to be a watered-down version of ECW.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be the ECW that fans think they're going to see. And that's because, you know, in order for it to be like that, you've got to give Paul Heyman full control. You've got to let Dr. Frankenstein loose,
mm-hmm.
you know, so to speak. You're going to have to do it because only Paul Heyman knows how to do that. Only Paul Heyman knows how to do that because that was his creation. You know, and I call him Dr. Frankenstein because, you know, Dr. Frankenstein created Frankenstein. Paul Heyman created ECW. You know, Paul Heyman helped put the Dusty Boys on the map, Taz on the map, Tommy Dreamer on the map. You know, all those guys that the other two didn't give a crap about at the time, Paul Heyman made them into stars. You know,
yeah.
So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, if you don't let Paul Heyman be Paul Heyman, and I don't think they will, you won't get that. I just don't see it happen.
I mean, see, we talk about Paul Heyman, and I know he had a big hand in creating the character that you played in ECW. And then when you went to WWE, you actually got switched a little while in to become Reverend Devon, which lasted for a little while. Who came up with that? And I mean, was that something that you came up with, or was that something that WWE approached you with?
That was something WWE approached me with. You know, that was something that I, because of my background and how familiar, you know, it was to me, because both my parents being reverend, that was something that, you know, they approached me with and pretty much had asked me to do, and could I do it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think he could have done well, but except powers to be would not let him. And, I mean, that's my opinion. I'm pretty much sure people back who were there would disagree with me, but that's their opinion. But I know how I feel about the issue.
Well, I mean, I think with that character especially, it was surprising because at first you got a really big push. You actually you had a victory over Triple H with Chris Jericho's help, I mean, early on. And then it kind of fizzled out after that. I mean, was there any point when you were playing this character that you kind of realized that this isn't going to go anywhere?
Well, I mean, I wasn't going to say it, but, you know, it was... Well, you know, we had Bruce Pritchard help me out on the character, and, you know, it was actually going extremely well. And then Paul Heyman got the booking for SmackDown, and he started booking and promoting the shows. And, you know, Bruce Pritchard actually let me pretty much you know, improvise what I was saying and doing, gave me bullet points to hit, and I'd hit it. He would have me and Vince would do promo segments together, and Vince, I would go to tell Vince what I was going to say, and Vince would be like, no, don't tell me, I want to feed off of you. Mm-hmm. And that was the way we did it. When Paul came into it, Paul had like a two-page script for me to read, and, you know, number one, my memory is not the greatest, and, you know, number two, you know, that type of character, you can't do that. And I would always hear, oh, you know, it's Vince's idea for you to do that, to do this, and I had already spoke to Vince about how this character should be done. And Paul Heyman just insisted that, you know, you need to do this. I mean, there was words on there that I couldn't even pronounce, let alone spell.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, if I don't get it, how do you think the people are going to get it?
Exactly.
And it just didn't make any sense. With that type of character, you cannot push the envelope like he's done with so many of his characters. And that's, I mean, Paul has said he's a genius. I'm not taking anything away from him. But it's just that particular character you couldn't go over the line with. And he pretty much did with that character, which, in my opinion, was what pretty much killed it. You have to pretty much take it for what his words about this preacher, you know, preaching about the good, but yet he's only in it for the, you know, almighty dollar. You know, there's funny skits that can go with it, and, you know, a whole bunch of stuff, but yet at the same token, you know, you can't have me go out there talking about masturbation.
Yeah.
Which is one of the things that I did. And I wasn't too happy about that, but I did it anyway, and, you know, that was just the way it was. Like I said, I think Paul's a genius, but, you know, as far as that goes, I think they should have let me do the character the way I was continuing to do it and not interfere with it.
It's kind of that weird mix of the mind of ECW kind of mixing with the environment of WWE, and sometimes not everything kind of is meant to be mixed together.
Exactly.
Well, let me ask you this. I was kind of surprised to read this. One of the original names that you wrestled under was A-Train.
Yes.
And then when you were in WWE, they ended up giving Albert that name. Did that have anything to do with it, or was that just a coincidence?
It was just a coincidence.
Oh, all right.
I remember, I remember Albert. I saw Albert on a pay-per-view that was, you know, I guess it was one of the, right after they split SmackDown and Raw. We were still coming together at the pay-per-views. And I remember when that was done, I saw Albert, and I said, all right. I said, so you're still on my name? He goes, yeah, I know, Paul, he told me about that. I said, yeah, that's my name. He said, I asked for permission, you're going to take A-Train. I said, I still got that, bro. I said, I never gave up the right for that name.
That's funny, man.
We joke around about it a lot, and this and that. We still joke about it, you know, to this day. I see him in, I'm in Japan now, you know, because he's working for New Japan Pro Wrestling. We worked a little bit together at All Japan Pro Wrestling. So, you know, we just joke around about that a lot. And, yeah, it was just a coincidence.
So that must be cool for you, because now with kind of the TNA schedule, it gives you a little more opportunity to work some dates that maybe the WWE schedule didn't allow?
Well, that's one of the reasons why I don't want to go back, and, you know, I believe I can say the same for Bubba, is because of the fact that we're able to do so much other stuff. See, when you're with Vince, you're committed to do Vince's show and Vince's show only. TNA, you can do TNA, you'll be on a national level, also do indie promotions, and also on top of that, you know, go to Japan and do what you gotta do. And I'm happy to say that, you know, I'm happy to be with TNA because I can do things like that. You know, I can pick and choose when I want to, work an independent show or not. I can pick and choose if I want to go to Japan or not. You know, if I decide, hell, what the hell, I'm going to see, you know, I'm going to go on that next tour. When they ask me about going on to Japan, I can do it. You know, I don't have to clear it like I did with WWE.
Yeah.
Just as long as it doesn't conflict with TNA's schedule, you know, it's fine.
That's cool. It gives you kind of the freedom to kind of expand your horizons a bit. Let me ask you just two more questions, and I'll let you go. First question is something that I kind of ask every guest that we have on the show. If you could wrestle anyone from history, any promotion, any time, and you think you would have a good match with them, who would that person be?
Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan?
Hulk Hogan. I'm a big Hulk Hogan fan. you know, I'd like to keep, you know, I got a lot of interviews where people ask me who I look up to. I look up to Hogan. I was a huge Hulk maniac. I know Edge, that when he was teaming up with him, me and Edge was always at the argument saying that he was the biggest Hulkamaniac around, and me and Edge always argued each other and disagreed. You know, Hogan was someone that I had looked up to. I grew up in Brooklyn, a rough place in Brooklyn, New York, and, you know, when everybody else was doing things they ought not to be doing, I was trying to rush home to see what Hogan was going to do next. Mm-hmm. That was my biggest thing. You know, I idolized the man. I didn't, you know, my role model was him. And, you know, it was just, it was a crazy feeling, actually, when we were on SmackDown together, Jack, sitting there, you know, changing in the same locker room as he is. But he's the man I looked up to. You know, it's no different than, you know, Triple H looking up to Ric Flair, mm-hmm. growing up in the business, Hulk Hogan looking up to superstar Billy Graham, you know, Ric Flair looking up to Buddy Rogers, you know. And the thing about it is just, it's an amazing thing when the guy that you idolize in the business that you love so much as a kid, when you grow up and you finally make that dream to come true, the person that actually employs you to be a part of that, you're working side by side. I mean, it was a great feeling.
That's got to be cool.
So, I mean, that's the one. I was in the Battle Royal with Hogan. And, you know, I got so excited when he actually took my head and knocked it together with him. So, I'm sitting up there, I'm screaming in pain and agony, but yet at the same token, I'm like, oh my God, I'm acting like a mark. I'm not afraid to say it. So all those people that read this that think, you know, hey, D-Von, you're damn right I am. Huge mark.
Nice. growing up, are there any Hogan memories that stand out to you as kind of your favorite?
Oh, man, there's so many. I mean, the one that him and Hogan, him and Andre, mm-hmm. you know, WrestleMania 3, you know, Survivor Series, when he met Andre again. Pretty much, the SummerSlam, you know. It's just so many. I mean, I could be sitting here on and on. Yep. There's just so many of Hogan's memories that I love. You know, when he first came back with Backlund, back to the WWE, you know, against the Samoans. I mean, it was just a tremendous time.
Yeah. Before I let you go, D-Von, any words to your fans out there who have supported you your whole career?
Yes. I mean, you know, I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. I mean, you know, without you guys, I wouldn't be here. You know, regardless to what encounters, you know, that... you know, may come with me, you guys have always been there. No matter what ups and downs in this business, you guys have always been behind us and supported us 110%. And for that, I want to say thank you. And all I got to say is, you know, me and my partner, we've got a long career ahead of us, whether it's still tag or whether it's singles. But I can tell you what, regardless of what it's going to be, you know, we're going to give 110%. We're not going to stop. We're going to continue to do what we're doing. That's entertain you, coming up with new ideas to wow you, and we're just going to do what we do best. So I just want to say again, thank you for everything that you've done, and you ain't seen the best of us yet, trust me.
Awesome. Brother D-Von, man, thank you so much for being on the show, dude.
Thank you.
Brought to you by WorldWrestlingInsanity.com.
Great stuff there, guys. Brother D-Von of Team 3D and TNA coming on, being a part of Radio Free Insanity. Excited to have him on. We've had Matt Heisen, formerly Spike Dudley, presently Brother Runt. He was on the show way back when, so we wanted to have D-Von on for a while. For those of you guys who are wondering, all of these shows are not available online. Once you listen to it for 1 week, it is gone. But it will be coming back. I have all of the episodes saved. Right now, this marks the 23rd episode right here. So we have them all saved. There is going to be an option in the next few weeks where you guys are going to be able to hear a lot of the archives of Radio Free Insanity. They will all be available eventually. So just sit tight. I promise you, if you missed one, you will get to check it out. I mean, we've had a ton of guests. I mean, over 20 guests from across the industry, different people, everyone from the Iron Sheik to, you know, Samoa Joe to Nick Bockwinkle to, you know, AJ Styles. Yeah, I mean, it's just been a gamut of people. So very excited about that. You will have a chance to hear it again. But yeah, plenty more guests just like D-Von, but you guys can really sit tight, because we have some good people coming in these next few weeks, too. So it's going to be really cool. Keep a chin up and a thumb up in the air. This is James Gutman saying thank you guys so much for listening to the show. Thank you for sharing our insanity. Be well. I will catch you on Monday with an all-new edition of JG's Raw Insanity. If you get a chance, also check out Dr. Tom Pritchard has a new column up. Went up yesterday. It talks about indie promoters, indie champions, so that's up there, too. We got a ton going on the site, guys. You know, all of our columnists, Mallory, Derek, everyone is up there contributing, Matt Dog, Zah, so really, give it a look, have a ball, go to the Insanity MySpace, there's tons of stuff going on, as we get closer to the book's release, you guys are going to live in the world of Insanity. This is James Gutman saying thanks so much for listening, be well, thanks for sharing our Insanity, take care.
Brought to you by WorldWrestlingInsanity.com.